Georgia Metro.
Hello, and welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, a group of beings from many levels and dimensions who come together and speak as one through me. They'll bring you an important message today, and then they will take your questions on topics of interest to you. Shortly, I'll go into trance, and then Galexis will be with you. But first, I want to remind you that the Path of Power is the first and third Monday of every month, and occasionally we'll do a fifth Monday. And today, being our Monday, I also want to remind you that for more information on Galexis, to go to galexisspirit.com, and please feel free to give us feedback on this show. And get on the mailing list if you would like newsletters and articles and that and more. Okay, so next week at this time will be Tall Cat Psychic, and I thank you for dialing in or checking in with us, and I send you my wishes for every success as you walk your path of power. So now I'm going into trance, and there will be a quiet moment, a few seconds of quiet, and Galexis will be with you. So goodbye, until next time. All right. We are here, and we are Galexis. Welcome. Welcome. Today we're going to talk on the ever-intriguing topic of who are you and why are you here? So many times when we talk to people individually or even in group with question and answers, people will raise their hand and or they will talk to us in person and they will ask, what am I doing here? Why am I here? What am I here to do? And because of this general desire, we know that many of you can be emerging out of periods of your life in which you've taken one turn or another turn and this way and that way, and you've explored your spirituality, you've explored metaphysics, you've explored your own path of power. But somehow or another, when things get a bit chaotic, as they have been lately and all over the planet, you can ask, what is the reason for all of this? Why are we going through all of this? And why am I here at this time? Why am I on this planet? What do I have to give to the planet, or what do I want to do, and is there some role for me in the planet? Do I have a particular destiny? Do I have a particular point to my existence? You see, so much of the intellectual theories of preceding decades of the 40s, 50s, 60s, was fairly existential, suggesting that humankind were here just simply because, well, that was just either maybe a freak of nature or whatever, and here you are, just finding your way from moment to moment, day to day, month to month. And if there's any point to life, it is whatever meaning you choose to give it at the moment. Well, that point of view is not entirely false. The point of your life is given its meaning, its substance, its truth through your experience in the now, in this moment, from moment to moment, to to give your life a certain meaning, whatever that may be for you at the time. That, yes. But overall, there is a reason why you chose, and you did choose, to incarnate on the planet at this time, so that you would, at this very moment, you hear us speaking to you, you are a certain age, and you are in a certain place on the planet. You see, you did choose before you came into this lifetime, and before you came into all lifetime or physical experiences on this planet, or other planets for that matter. You arranged it. You found the ones who would play the role of parents for you, who would give you, perhaps, seemingly, unintentionally, and perhaps even maliciously at times, some of the major themes, issues, problems, dilemmas, and situations that you needed to work with or you desired to work with. Every lifetime you do have certain themes you like to play out and explore. But this particular lifetime actually is a bit different from all the other ones that you've done in the past and, yes, in the future. Because this particular one is occurring at a time of a great shift of consciousness from three-dimensional consciousness to fourth and fifth-dimensional consciousness. Now, you know what three dimensions are. You draw a line and then you make a right angle on a piece of paper. You've got one dimension is the first line, and that right angle line is the second dimension. And if you were to draw a line up into the air to create an imaginary cube, you'd be thinking about that third dimension. Length and width and then height. 1, 2, and 3. These give you a lot to work with. Your whole lifetime has been focused in these three dimensions. And the way that your social upbringing has been is that you have not been given support for discovering and experiencing and working with higher dimensions than these three. In fact, however, your energy body, your aura, your light body, greater than you can imagine when you are just looking at your physical body in the mirror, for example, is made up of lights in particular color and formation and orientation. And this light body is very multidimensional. In your light body, you're working all the time on other dimensions beyond the third dimension. Your light body can function quite easily on at least 7 or 8 dimensions, very comfortably. Your light body works with, in fourth dimension, works with time and space so that you have perceptions around time and space so that you can create that illusion just as you've created and co-created in order to have this earth experience, your first, second, and third dimensions. The fifth dimension of imagination is something that most people scorn. Oh, it's just your imagination. As if it was not that important. But you see, you're unable to create anything unless you work with fifth dimension. If you cannot imagine it, it cannot appear at all in your reality. Because what you can consciously tap into in the dimensions beyond the fourth, you can bring through the fourth dimension into the third to manifest. To manifest in physical form, that which you dream, that which you desire. It is what you imagine. You see, so that is an example of fifth dimension. You've got chaos, you've got creativity, you've got, in subsequent dimensions, and you've got magic, you've got divine sense of order and proportion. You've got all sorts of subjective aspects, you would say, that form and comprise together series of, in a way, series of dimensions stacked one upon and within each other that you work with every day. And you don't even think about it. You are a multidimensional creature. But your focus has been on three dimensions. That's the way you were trained. And for the most part, unless you have deliberately resisted that and moved into exploring and developing with a tremendous amount of focus the access to other dimensions consciously through your will, you will probably be unaware of how to work with time and space or with imagination and will. You might find that weak in you. You might have trouble with time. You might have live in a very cramped space. And of course your reality so far, in as to up to this point, has been constructed on scarcity. After all, that's one of the places that your culture assigns value. If something is really wonderful, but it's scarce, you're going to have to pay big, big dollars for it. If something's wonderful, but it's totally abundant, everybody has easy access to it. Well, it might be free or next to free or, you know, very inexpensive. So, in a sense, this scarcity has given you a sense of limit. And this limit is fourth dimension, time and space. You feel limited by time, limited by space. But your light body is not. Your soul is not. The capacity that you have to dance in the light, to be conscious of God, Goddess, all that is, to know who you are, is not limited within that fourth dimension of time and space. And dear ones, why you are here is that on a personal level, you want to explore. You want to explore fourth and fifth dimension consciously. You want to break the wall, the barrier, the limitations. You want to bust out of this three-dimensional box. You know, it's so funny. A big slang term of the last decade was, think outside the box. Well, if they really knew what they were saying, it would be think fourth and fifth dimension. Don't think three-dimensional. That's a sense what they were meaning, but they didn't know what it really meant. They didn't know it consciously. All right, so your first mission, you have two missions, is to know who you are. That does require busting out of the box of three dimensions and going into the fourth and fifth dimension. You discover who you are. Now, as you discover that, you'll discover that you are this light being. You'll discover that your essence is divine, that you're made of the same substance as God, Goddess, all that is. You'll find that to be true. You'll claim it, nevertheless. You will see, in a way, your greatness, your potential. And this is not from an egotistical standpoint. But this is from a knowing of yourself. So the old adage, man, know thyself, is more true now than ever. And you have come with the first mission to know yourself. And then from that position, from that orientation, that perspective, you can bust all the filters of perception that have been so limited, so restricted as to what is possible and who you can be and how your world can be, that you will find that you will be able to step into a strong capacity to work with this physical plane, to work with the substance of it. You will be free in that sense. You will be able to establish within yourself a sense of power, love, freedom. And you will feel safe. You will have the safety that there is always enough and that you too are always enough. Your second mission that you came here on the planet for is to find how you would like to participate in the great consciousness shift that is going on the planet at this time. And dear one, it's this second level mission, a global level mission, a world level mission, a consciousness mission that propelled you to choose to be born at such a time that you would enter into your mastery, enter into your power in order to assist, to be present with, to celebrate this transformation of consciousness where the whole culture, where the whole world's peoples will have for the first time an awareness of greater dimensions beyond the box, that everyone can step outside that 3D box, that your whole culture will acknowledge transdimensional energies. And as this happens, then your culture can have direct interaction with beings from other planets, beings that are astral in their nature, astral or causal, can have interfaces with scientists, magicians, shamans, that can result in very magical new breakthroughs in your technology. You wanted, on some level, to be here now, to participate in that. Whether to observe, or whether to participate in a small way, with perhaps coaching someone and helping a person one at a time. Or perhaps it is to participate simply by meditating. Meditating. Now, when we say simply, we're not diminishing the power of meditation. It's phenomenal. As you own more of who you are and know yourself more, your meditations can have tremendous power and impact on the planet. Yeah, you're not going to be very visible consciously. But in meditation, you can connect with a network of light beings who, like yourself, have chosen to be here, to be present at this great time space. Or you may decide to participate in a much more grand way by writing books on it, by giving lectures or workshops, trainings, exploring it, sharing it with more and more people, getting it across the media and into the minds and hearts of people who are leaders around the world. And perhaps even you, too, may at some point be one of those leaders. So you see, you have two missions. You're here for a reason. Make it meaningful. Make it joyous. Celebrate it. Explore it. And know, dear one, know that you would not have gone to all the trouble of coming into the physical world, taking on all these lifetimes, and coming to this grand one here to fall on your face and fail. So many people say, will I fulfill my mission? Well, yes. Of course. You're going to succeed in your mission. You're not going to go to all that trouble and do nothing. You're not going to go to all that trouble and then just sabotage yourself. Now, you may find that you got it. You got what you came for. You wanted to witness a certain aspect of the change, and you got it. And then you may want to leave. But, dear ones, realize also that part of the exploration of fourth and fifth dimensions is enabling you to make the choice consciously, to make the choice through your own will and honoring your own spiritual consciousness that you can stay after the change has occurred, after you've helped usher in the new consciousness, after you have filled mission number one and you know that you are defined by your nature and a spark of consciousness and a piece of the divine, and that you are grand and glorious creation indeed. Our mission two, to participate, witness and participate and be involved with this glorious shift. You can stay around and play. Or you can leave and go back to your home planet or home galaxy where there are many who love you, who wait for you, many who observe you, many who, as your spirit helpers, walk with you every day in every way. This is a much friendlier, much more loving, much more glorious reality than you've been taught to believe. But when you embrace your mission, you can gain a perspective that is beyond, a perspective that is grand. All right. At this time, we would like to open it up for questions. We did hear a beep. Is there someone on the line? All right. So what we're going to do is give you the phone number you can call and ask a question on any topic of interest to you. The phone number to call is 888-815-9756. If that one's busy, you may want to try 530-776-5185. So feel free to give us a call to ask us a question. There's a few seconds delay, so that means that sometimes we open up the lines and it seems to appear, as you listen to it on your radio on your internet, BBS radio site, that there's a long delay. All right, we have a caller. Hello.
Alexis?
Yes?
Hi, it's Elizabeth.
Oh, hello, Elizabeth. Could you speak a little more louder?
A little louder. Let me try changing my phone quickly.
All right.
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you, dear one.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
But do talk loudly into the phone, if you could.
Okay, I'll do that. How's that?
This is good.
Okay. Speaking of coming and having the ability to impact, create my reality, our reality, I've been feeling somewhat befuddled by what seems to be continuing losses in, I'm curious, like, what's happening? I had this big windfall that came to me unexpectedly, and just as soon as that came, I got word through a monthly statement that something I had invested in took a big loss and essentially erased this other big windfall that suddenly came in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a long 2 years for me, very good, and but, you know, essentially I feel like I've been out at the end of the branch for 2 years, and things continue to unfold positively, and but it has been one hurdle after another.
Mm-hmm.
And this one just kind of took kind of the rug out from underneath me, and I just thought, wow, I've been working my magic quite a bit, and I just wanted to see if you could give me perspective on that. rather than things kind of expanding monetarily, they have, you know, there's something going on that I'm not seeing.
All right. Well, first of all, we want to point out the experience that you had has two messages, one that appears to be positive and one that appears to be negative. All right? The positive message is that what has happened, that you got a windfall and then you got a loss that pretty much canceled out the windfall.
Yes.
That indicates that you have a survival program in place financially. That means you're not going to just simply, you know, crash. That means you're not going to lose everything. It's not going to destroy you. All right? That's a positive. It means that the universe is keeping up at least some kind of bottom line for you.
By
this
losing
is your
the
arrangement.
Money?
What's that?
By losing the money?
By canceling out the windfall, by bringing you back to zero. Bringing it back to that bottom line, that level that you were at.
And that demonstrates I have a survival...
You have a survival program that is working actually in your favor, in the sense that you can, from this, deduct that you are being at least supported to that extent, so that there is a sense of maybe a feeling that you can rely on a certain level always. All right? That's the positive side of it. And the reason that that's a positive side is because if you allow yourself to really own that, rather than keep looking at the glass half full, you'll realize that your reality is keeping, half empty. You realize that the universe is keeping it half full. You're keeping it at that level, and you can rely on that. You can trust it. You can expect it, at least that. You understand?
Yeah, I'll let you
now,
continue.
What can... Could you
well, I understand the message. I don't understand the link. But go ahead.
You don't understand the link?
Well, to have a big windfall and then taken away, how does that indicate that I have a survival mechanism? How is that positive? Indicative of...
Yeah, we understand this is difficult because you're focusing on the loss. You know, you said... See, what it is
are
that
you
looked at
the
windfall.
Isn't indicative of the survival mechanism within?
Yes, both of them are. Both of them. Both the windfall and the loss are both together neutralizing each other, indicates that there is energy going on, but that you are maintaining a certain level, which you had before the windfall, and you now have after the loss.
Okay.
There's a line there. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense.
All right. That line is what we would call a bottom line that you have, that you can, in a sense, rely upon, trust that bottom line that you do have is solid. You and the universe have an arrangement for that. That's the positive side of that, which means you're not going to just continuously have losses.
Okay.
Okay? There's an aspect of trust
I get it.
You can trust that you will not keep going down, in a sense.
Well, I received the windfall first, so...
Right.
Why it wasn't the reverse. If it would have been the reverse, I would have understood your concept better, but go ahead.
Right. It doesn't matter in what order it occurs.
Yeah.
But the fact that if you had gotten a loss first and then a windfall to bring you right back to the line, that would also been a message of the same trust,
yes,
message-based
no,
bottom-line message. However, that you got the windfall first is actually a better message than if you got the loss first.
Okay.
Because that you got the windfall first shows you that your line is becoming starting to become more flexible.
Okay.
Which means you can start to stretch it upwards. Okay? Now, you were not able to sustain it. So it came back to the line. But you can trust that line. That's what we're saying.
Okay, I'm with you.
All right. Now, the second part of it, which is the negative, potentially negative or seemingly negative message, which is not really, neither of them are really negative. They're just what they are. But the second message is that you have some kind of mechanism whereby you are, in a sense, sabotaging the sustaining of the raising of this bottom line.
Okay.
That you keep that you brought yourself back down to it. All right? That somehow you expanded, you see, and lifted the line, but that it was outside some kind of boundary that had to snag you, pull you back down to that line. Well, here's what we want to say. The reason that that is not really negative, even though it sounds like it is, it means that there is something that you can do to heal this situation so that you can start stretching the bottom line up, 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 and creep it up so that you have more prosperity as a, as you might say, as a natural, normal foundation. But what we see that's going on here is that you don't have a really good trust. And so there is a lot of fear moving around in your energy field, and a lot of it is, and most of it actually, is not really yours. Most of it is the fears that are around in your culture, in the world, all the changes, where everybody is worried, people are concerned, and so on. And in a sense, the empathic or the sensitive part of you keeps picking that up and forgetting that it's not yours. And so, in a sense, you have within your energy field, as you program your magic, on the backside, there's worry. Is it going to turn out all right? Is it going to be okay? Is it going to work? There's a kind of an underlying energy that's there. And it means the positive aspect of this second message is that when you find that peace that's so important there and you heal that issue, you will find that you can then break through and raise that bar and keep sustain it up higher and keep it up higher so that your bottom line inflow gets more and more and more. All right? Now, what holds that line in place? The most important thing that holds that line in place, and as we were talking about, the fear stuff is in there, has to do with a certain sense of insecurity you have carried with yourself. And so it is an undermining of your self-image. So we would suggest when you do and work your magic, that before you do any magical processes, any programs, any type of meditative experiences that you, which you call for greater abundance or you ask for it, you request it, command it, however you do it, we would suggest that prior to that you would expand your self-image. All right? You would expand your self-image by bringing in the self that you are going to be in the future with a much higher bottom line income. Because that self in the future is going to feel very secure about it, is going to trust it, and is going to feel secure about who she is in her image as that of the powerful reality creator that she indeed is and that you indeed are. And this, when you take this insecurity and expand your self-image, and in fact also expand other aspects of your life with that as well, and that is to expand the sense of fun. Because that part of you that has an insecurity in your self-image takes everything very seriously. And it would be helpful if you could bring the fun and lightness and humor you have in other areas of your life into that. Does that make sense to you?
Totally.
All right. Okay, because if you do that, you may find, oh, look, you have this windfall. And now, if you're the old self, you're going to say, uh-oh, last time I had a windfall, I lost it. You know, it got sabotaged. It got taken away by a loss. And so you might start getting nervous and paranoid and looking around for the loss. But you see, if you connect with this greater self-image and with the self that is more secure, and you just breathe out the fear that is not yours, that is other people's, then what you can do is, and in that expanded place, you can sustain it. You can sustain the windfall. It will stick. It will stay. Because that future you, who is totally secure and confident that it is natural for her to have that, will, in a sense, infuse you with that central naturalness. This is what's natural for me, is to have this much. This is natural. This is the way it is. This is just the way it is. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. So if you get into that orientation and that head state, you are holding a resonance, holding a huge energy field of light and fun and abundance and success and all that kind of stuff, and that's just natural to your self-image. It is something that if you look at your life overall, you will notice how much magic there really is going on in it. And sometimes you actually are aware of it, and you go, oh yeah, that's fabulous, that's great. The thing is that there comes a point where you realize that all that magic, that positive, wondrous magic, is just natural to you. And you really claim it and own it for yourself. Your self-image expands accordingly, so that your image is large enough to sustain and hold on to a greater success, a greater abundance. And you can have fun without having to worry and be anxious and get all kind of concerned with fears that are mostly not yours. You see?
Yeah. When you said there's a part of me that is sabotaging within and took it away, you then went on and described these other things. So am I to go in and try to identify, or what were you just identifying it in all the things you just said?
Well, we would say that what we have said is we sense that specific to you.
Okay.
All right.
So that is the sabotage, the diminished self-image, and
right.
Okay.
Right, because if you have a diminished self-image, or your image does not expand with the inflow, just if you can remember that when you had the windfall, what you felt, how you responded.
I didn't expand my self-image. I didn't. I know that.
Right. That was the critical piece. And so your reality took it away in a sense that, hello, this is what you need to focus with. This is
okay.
Part of your work. This is part of your magical work.
Okay. Alrighty ho.
Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, you're certainly welcome, and thank you for asking such a very good question.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
All right. So
thank
farewell
you.
To you.
Good night.
All right. All right, so, dear ones, the lines are open for another caller, and we just want to point out that what we gave as the issue for her is generally, very frequently, the major issue for most everyone. Now, there can be others, but what she was working with was something that was major and normal for a lot of people. So if you have a similar kind of situation, then you can look within yourself and see if it's there. All right, we have another caller. Hello.
Hello, this is Amy.
Hello, Amy. Welcome. What
Hello.
Would you like to discuss?
Thank you. I would like to discuss embracing my mission, and I remember our first reading together, Galexis. You mentioned that you saw me writing, and you said it in a way that, oh, yes, we see you writing. And that's the first part of my question, maybe going a little deeper into that. And I'd also like to discuss a little bit working with the fourth and fifth dimension, because you mentioned to me that I have that talent, and I'd like to explore ways to do that now.
All right, and you're referring to a talent of exploring the fourth and fifth dimension, or you're referring to the talent of writing?
Well, I'm talking about both of those now.
All right. Okay, now, as far as the writing is concerned, we saw an image of you writing. Okay? Now, where is there to go more deeply on that? If you feel passion about it, if you have desire about it, if there's something you want to express or something you want to play with, if there's something that calls you, then that's going to unerringly lead you into the writing. All right? But we would suggest that's part of your journey.
Okay.
All right, because whatever you write about is something that you discover has meaning to you, so that it's that you can relish it, so that you can wake up in the morning and be motivated to do it. All right? It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what form you put it in, whether you put it into a novel or a how-to self-help book, or whether you put it into a screenplay. It doesn't matter what form. We would recommend that if you are writing now, all you just do is just open more and more to your intuition as you begin your writing session. And that will take you where you need to go. All right?
Okay.
Because you don't have a program, and that's the beauty of it. You are a reality creator. You wanted to come explore it and play with it and create it. So we saw a picture of you writing because you had that as a mind, in your mind as a thought form, that you thought that if you were doing that particular activity, you would be happy. Right?
Yes.
And you could feel it, couldn't you?
Yes.
All right. Now, how much do you write now?
A fair amount.
Okay. And do you find things to write about without any problem? You know, topics to write about, things you want to write about?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, that's a sign of a writer, all right. And do you notice also during your day, as you interact with other people, that sometimes you, after an interaction that was interesting in your mind, you go through it and write it as a story in your mind? Have you done that?
Yes, I have.
Right, that's a writer. So you see, it's gonna pull you. It seduces you into the joy and the pleasure of this creativity, because you see, when you are in your creative space doing something you enjoy doing, you are really connecting in an ecstatic way with the divine.
Right.
And you are connecting.
Right, and it's producing and putting thoughts out there that are interesting. And I guess I have a little bit of hesitation because I wonder, well, who's going to want to read all of this stuff?
That's a self-image issue, dear one. Who's going to read it indeed? If you write it for yourself and you love it, there's bound to be way enough people out there in a reality that you create and co-create that'll be interested in the same stuff.
Okay.
All right? Just know that. So recognize you are a vehicle to bring this energy, this information through. Now, as long as you enjoy it, do it, and do it for you. Don't think, okay, I've got to write something that's commercial. Because if you do that, you kill a lot of the spirit of it. The thing is that the greatest novels and the greatest writings and the greatest books and so on were written because the writers had to write. It's not like they say, okay, what shall I write that'll make a lot of money for me? They didn't go there. They wrote because it was connected to who they were, and they went into their inner self, and they felt that connection with the creative process, which was intense.
Mm-hmm.
And or an experience of great bliss for them. All right?
Okay.
So those are the books, and those are the pieces of information. That's the material that when you put it out there and offer it out there, it is filled with your love. It is filled with your light. It is filled with your passion and your joy. What's not to attract others?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right. Yes, I do see.
All right. Look at the intangibles that are involved here, not the tangibles. That's just what
okay.
we were pointing out. All right? Now.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
And I'm very interested in the fourth and fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fourth and fifth dimensions are very interesting.
Yes, they are. And I know that I can learn about it by listening to you and listening to your CDs and programs. And do you have any clues or tips on ways to work with that energy more?
Well, yes, we do. We actually put out a workshop called Physical Plane Mastery.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 2-day workshop that we did in the Bay Area of California, and in it we have meditations in which you go into fourth dimension and you work through time back and forth and play with it. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are certain movies that are very popular where they do, you know, time tripping. What is,
mm-hmm.
You remember that famous one, Back to the Future, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine what expansion into fourth dimension was required for someone to come up with that story.
Mm-hmm.
Because they played with the past and the future. So what we would suggest for you is in a day-to-day basis to look at time as the malleable plastic in the sense of changing and moldable
mm-hmm.
thing that it is. If just during your day to pause and think, time is an illusion, there's nothing real to it. To break anything that you can do to break your addiction to linear thinking, which is what in all your educational processes, all the schooling that you got was drilled into you without any other options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, logic. And there's a part of you that's just really annoyed with logic.
Mm-hmm.
Just tired of it, the limitations of logic, how that the past creates the present and then the present creates the future. That's only one way of doing it. What if the future creates the present and the present creates the past?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you could go into the future and work with the self that is past
mm-hmm.
in order to shift something in the present. What if you can play around like that, you see?
And we could go into the fourth and fifth dimension and work on, when you were speaking with this gal just a second ago about the boundaries and that bottom line, could
mm-hmm.
we work on that, I guess, in the fourth dimension, couldn't we?
Yes, yeah, you could. And that's why we suggested to her also to connect with the self in the future who's got it all, you know, not all figured out because that's a logical orientation, but the one who's experienced the magic of it and knows how to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play with that too. Take a trip in your imagination, fifth dimension. A trip
mm-hmm.
in your imagination, and go visit with the self that you're going to be in about 2 years. Now, the self that you would prefer to be, because there's many, many potential selves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you select the one that you would like to be, okay? And you go
mm-hmm.
and find her, wherever she's living, with whoever she's interacting and whatever she's doing. You don't want to put much attention on the forms, on the manifestations. You don't want to say, oh, look, you know, she's redecorated the living room. You know, that makes no sense. What you want to do, though, essentially, is to go and sit with her, just pull up a chair and the two of you sit and have maybe a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a glass of water or something, just like you would a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And just sit with her and talk to her or just imagine her presence. What would it be like if all the issues and life themes and all the lessons that you feel that you've had to learn and all the struggles and efforts and so forth that you've had to go through, what if you were past all of that? What if, and this is her, of course, the future self, what would she be like? What would
mm-hmm.
she be doing? How would she be doing it, rather? That's the more important thing. How would she feel about herself?
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we mentioned at the beginning of this program, their first mission is to know, man, know thyself. Or in this case, woman, know thyself. So you go to your future self 2 years down the road, and we say 2 years at least, because if you go too soon, this you can get charged up about it or even put pressure on yourself
mm-hmm.
to get there. But what you want to do is to go to somebody who is a bit far away and gives you a little bit of leeway in your belief system to know that you could possibly affect a change that big in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't believe that you can change overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's probably possible, but you don't yet have the belief that it's totally possible for you, not only totally possible, but probable and likely.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't claimed that yet as natural to you. So you go mm-hmm. to the future self who can make all sorts of changes, create all sorts of realities, and make beautiful, beautiful experiences, tremendous success, tremendous experience of what we call the four foundational pieces of the new reality that you're in the process of exploring and creating and discovering, and that is that she is filled with her presence. She can feel her power and know how to work with it. She feels her love for herself and can radiate love, the divine love that comes into her that she receives from the divine to others. And she can do it with a sense of safety. She doesn't feel scared. She's not afraid of visibility. She's not afraid of her power. She's not afraid of what other people think about her. She feels safe. She's not afraid of having someone rip off her stuff or mm-hmm. to be attacked. She's not afraid that she's going to suddenly die of a dread disease. Why? Because that's not natural for her.
Okay.
She feels safe. She can trust herself that she can create beautiful and fun life, a fun reality for herself. So it's love, power,
mm-hmm.
safety, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom to be
and
yourself.
And those are the
without.
Four foundations?
That's what we consider the four foundational pieces. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so what you want to do is visit with someone, or that future self, who is very comfortable in all those four areas, very comfortable,
mm-hmm.
very free, isn't just burdened down by all sorts of, expectations and assumptions of other people, and having to please other people, having to carry their needs on her as a burden or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's free to make choices to give to others, to receive from others in whatever manner she discerns best for her. She has beautiful boundaries. She's enjoying her life. She is tremendous. She does the three things that we consider to be natural to her divine self. That what is natural to the human being's divine self? The first one is to touch, heal, and love.
Mm.
All right? It's heart-oriented. It's love-oriented. And love heals. So touch, heal,
mm-hmm.
and love. That's the first. The second one is to create.
Mm.
To create realities, to create projects, to create artistically, to create and to express herself in some form that is pleasing
mm-hmm.
to her, that creation. And the third one is to learn, grow, expand. Always become more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So mm-hmm. see her in your imagination. Experience her feeling totally delighted and having a fabulous time with these three areas in the four and strong in these four foundational pieces.
Okay. Thank you.
Four is structure. It's kind of the structure foundation. The three is the dynamic of experience.
Ah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that, you get the matrix.
Mm. All right.
So you sit with the future self who has this, and you just feel her energy, claim it for yourself. Let her infuse it in you. Let her hold you. Let her love you. Let her infuse it in you. You see, we just completed a workshop yesterday in which everyone who was present got to experience this in meditative form. It was called Inner Voices, to create the inner harmony, the peace. She's in a state of union within herself. Thank you. All right. You understand?
I do understand.
All right.
And I'm interested.
Well, thank you so much.
Hearing.
All right. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And we must go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Farewell, dear one.